chapter 5 and verse 16. Read from the middle of the verse. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. He lieth with a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 months, 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now turn please to 1 Kings chapter 16. Verse 30. And Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel the daughter of Esbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. In his days did Hiel the Bethelite build Jericho. He laid the foundation thereof, and Abiram his firstborn, and set up the gates thereof, and his youngest son Segub, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Joshua the son of Nun. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake but an handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which is spake by Elijah. One verse, 24. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. Thy God will bless to us the reading of his word. We've been hearing this afternoon about Ruth and about Nehemiah, and I thought of giving a little word upon this man, Elijah. He's one of the men in the Bible who is called a man of God. And someone has said, a man of passions, a man of like passions, became a man of God because he was a man of prayer. That's a wonderful saying. You see it very clearly brought out in the life of Elijah. Elijah is noted for his praying. But he's a very remarkable prophet of the Lord, and there's some very outstanding things in the life of Elijah, and one would think, well, we could never be like Elijah. How could he be like Elijah? Yet the Spirit of God through James in his epistle says he was a man of like nature as we are. The word passions is not used in the Bible as it is sometimes in our modern day language. It means he had the same nature as we have. He has his ups and his downs, he has his sorrows and he has his joys. And we do find Elijah at times in the mountaintop, but we also find him running away from a woman and sitting under the juniper tree and wishing that he would die. So you can see how, like us, Elijah is. Sometimes he's got experiences that take us to the very mountaintop and we seem to be above every circumstance that can come along. And then some little thing enters into our life, and we're cast down to the very depths, as it were, until we get a touch from the Lord, as Elijah did, and he was able to go on the strength of the meat that the Lord provided for many days. So here we have a man of God. Now I was interested this afternoon in thinking that the word man of God is only used twice in the New Testament. It's used in 1 Timothy chapter 6, it's used in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Timothy is the only man in the New Testament that is called a man of God. But the word man is not the word for males, as we might expect it. It is the word for a human being, anthropos. It's the word for a human being. So any one of us, male or female, in the meeting this evening, can be a man or a woman for God. And that is the greatest need today, is men and women of God. Men who can be leaders. We've heard of Nehemiah. And Nehemiah prayed for 3 months, day and night, regarding the need in Jerusalem, the exercise about the building of the walls and the setting up of the gates. He had a burden, and God used him. A young man said to me, he saved a number of years, he said, you should be discipling and getting these young men. They're not doing anything. You should be doing this and that. I said, you have been saved a long number of years, and you also should be discipling. Every one of us should be discipling and helping others along. But the men and the women that go on for God, they know what it is like to be with God in secret. They know what it is to have fellowship with the living God in private. We never hear of Elijah until he's told to go and stand before until he goes into the presence of Ahab, and he says, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Before we can be in public for God, we must be in private. Some are trying to be in public before they've ever spent any time in private. Now we'll come to that in a moment, because Elijah wasn't fully ready to meet the needs of the people until there was a period of 3 years and 6 months. So he was also being under discipline of God, learning God in those 3 years and 6 months while the famine was on, until the time the people were ready to hear. Why was the prophet withdrawn? Because the people weren't ready to listen. And quite often there are prophets of God raised up, men of God, to minister the word of God, and the people of God are not ready to listen. We have deaf ears. We're not ready for the ministry that God would give us. Even Paul is speaking to the Hebrews, and he was the writer. He couldn't open up the deeper truth, because they were dull of hearing. They became dull of hearing. You have need that one teach you again the first principle. So there's slothfulness. We can be babes in Christ because of our link with the world, with our link with other things. Carnality can make us babes, as we have in the epistle to Corinthians. So I want to encourage young believers and all of us today, if we think of the days in which we live, they're very difficult days, they're very trying days. But they were no more difficult than the days in which Elijah lived. That's why I read chapter 16. I was thinking of his days. In his days, there reigned the most wicked king that ever reigned in the throne of Israel, King Ahab. And he was a weak man, influenced by a woman called Jezebel. A weak man. And he was controlled by an evil and scrupulous woman. And we find that this woman had put many of the prophets of the Lord to death. We read of a man called Obadiah, and he was serving in the palace, and he had hid some of these prophets. But most of the prophets of the Lord had been put to death at the instigation of this woman. And then they find the Jericho here being rebuilt, the gates set up, and according to the word of the Lord, the judgment of God came upon those who disobeyed the word of God. Now we can't escape it if we disobey the word of God. We will definitely come under his discipline and his judgment. Now his days. Now what kind of days do we live in? We live in days of departure. We live in days of difficulty. And there are believers that have domestic trials. There are believers who have personal sorrow. There are believers who have business worries. And the devil is seeking to crush the spirit and hinder the activities of the people of God by these problems that come into the light. And quite often when the problem arises, even in an assembly, everybody is occupied with the problem. The work of God is at a standstill. The worship of God is interrupted. Because Satan is the enemy of God's people, our adversary. Your adversary, Peter says, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, as Pharaoh did in Egypt, hindering the people of God, fulfilling the word of God, and going into the wilderness to establish the worship of God. And today, our adversary is doing the same, seeking to hinder us, and seeking to use everything in his power to frustrate the work and the purposes of God. Now the question is asked in 2 Kings, where is the God of Elijah? Are you ever saying that? Where is the God of Elijah? Where is the God that I've been praying through by this problem for months and for years, and that heaven seemed to grasp? The God of Elijah is still on his throne. The God of Elijah is working out his purposes. But God is waiting to do as much for his people today as he did for these men like Elijah in the times that are past. So what the Lord wants us to do is to emulate their faith, number one. He wants us to stand as they did in the presence of God. And then we'd be able to stand in the presence of men. Or better still, if we knew what it was to kneel in the presence of God, we would be fearless in standing in the presence of men. As our brother Stan was pointing out when we were thinking about it, in connection with Nehemiah's prayer, and he's telling God about the king, he said, this man, he refers to him as a mere man. The greatest kings in the world are nothing when it comes to having dealings with the Almighty God. And Ahab was nothing to Elijah. Fearlessly he could stand in the presence of this wicked king who would have put him to death if he could. But he knew what it was to stand in the presence of the living God. Now we'll all admit that we need spiritual power. Each one of us individually would have to admit that in the presence of God is something that we lack, most of us. And as assemblies of God, we lack spiritual power. And if we were honest in the presence of God, we would admit that as well. But it can be had so easily. If we are prepared to pay the price. If we are prepared to pay the price. I trust there are some young men and young women in the assembly this afternoon, and you're willing to pay the price. It's going to cost you something. If you're going to learn God, if you're going to learn His Word, it will mean sacrifice. I don't know just what you'll have to sacrifice. But there may be something in your life and in your heart that takes precedence over God and the things of God. I speak to my own son along this line. I'm not condemning certain legitimate activities of young people, but when they're more given to the activity to help the body than they give to the care of their soul, they're going to miss out in time, and they will certainly miss out in eternity. Godliness profiteth in all things, both in the life which now is, and in the life which is to come. Godliness will profit you in this life, and godliness will certainly profit you in the life which is to come. As a brother said, discover in your life and decide what will be important then. Life is very short. And then go in for it with all your might. Have that one goal set before you that you may please Him who has called you to be a soldier. That should be the greatest motive in the Christian life, to please Him. To please God. His day, His God. He's a living God. God is not dead. How many of you have had fellowship with the living God today? Do you know what it is to commune with God? To speak to one who lives? It says in Thessalonians, they turn to God from idols to serve the living and the true God and to wait for His Son from heaven. Even Job says, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and upon the latter day He shall stand upon the earth. And regarding our Lord Jesus Christ, it says He ever liveth to make intercession for us. What a wonderful priestly ministry the Lord Jesus has. And do we avail ourselves of it? We have a priest uninterruptedly who ministers for us in the presence of God. And He desires that we come into His presence. Because He's able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God through Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. If you were to read the Epistle to Hebrews, it speaks much about the living God. His throne, His heart, forever and ever. His salvation is eternal. His priesthood is unchangeable. His kingdom cannot be moved. His covenant is everlasting. His redemption is eternal. And His inheritance is eternal. Have you set your mind on things above? Have I? And not on things which are on the earth. Our light affliction, the apostle says, which is for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are eternal. The things which are not seen are only temporal. So we see Elijah standing alone as a man of God. His days were dark and difficult. But what was the secret of his success? Well, number one, his praying. He knew what it was to pray. Now, did Elijah just one day decide he was going to pray this terrible judgment on the children of Israel and bring a famine which would bring suffering and death to the people of God? He didn't decide that in his mind. No, he was guided by the Word of God. And our prayers must be based on the Word of God. There's some things that we pray for, and they're not in line with the mind of God. If ye abide in me, the Lord says, my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. I think almost every place, a brother corrected me in this one time in Acts chapter 6, but I think it's speaking of a different thing. It's speaking of the ministry of the word first and prayer. They give themselves to prayer and the ministry of the word, but in every case almost in the Bible where you have prayer and the word of God together, you find the word of God precedes the prayer. Now you search that out for yourself. I'm not going to go into all the details. Even Daniel prayed according to what was written in the Word. And Elijah prayed according to what was written in Deuteronomy chapter 11 regarding the evil and departure of the children of God. And here's what he prayed. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside, and serve other gods, and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heavens, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, unless ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Elijah said, God, do as you have said. Do you pray like that? When you pray, do you say, Lord, do as you have said, basing what you're asking upon the word? I remember one time, a crisis in my own life, and I needed wisdom. And I remember the verse in James chapter 1. I was a very young believer. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Well, I said, Lord, you said it. If you ask for wisdom, it shall be given him. So I said, I'm feeling that. I need that wisdom. So when I finished praying, I was impressed to read James chapter 1 where that verse is found. And I read through these verses, and here's what I read. Let patience have her perfect work, that you might be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. I got the wisdom I needed. What does the Lord say? Wait. Wait. Not time yet. Let patience have her perfect work, because what you're experiencing now is for your spiritual development, that you might be perfect, entire, wanting in nothing. So if your prayers are being delayed, and if a circumstance entered into your life, as a man came to me about his son the other day there, a real problem with his boy, and some of us have the same problems, it's not exactly in the same measure, but his boy was giving him so much trouble, expelled from school and on drugs and all the rest of it. And, there was a time we couldn't even enter into that. But you know, when you have a family, and you have boys and girls, Sometimes there are those who give you trials and troubles, sorrows. I said, Jerry, first of all, you will pray for that boy and trust in God that he will save him and deliver him. And secondly, you will find out what God is trying to teach you. Because we're all in the school of God. And Elijah, while he was bidding those 3.5 years, he was learning God himself. He was learning and getting a greater knowledge of God and being prepared for his great work in relation to Israel. Because there was a time that he was going to defy the prophets of Baal and stand out for the God of Israel, call down fire from heaven. In order to do that, he needed to be in the school of God. He needed to be prepared. He needed to be disciplined in his own life. And the people of God, Israel, had to be put through that awful trial for 3.5 years. And then they were ready to listen to Elijah. We thought of his death. We think of his God, the living God. Thank God we know him as a living God. As Paul says in the Hebrews, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What an example we have in those individuals in Hebrews chapter 11. Men and women who knew the living God, who had dealings with God, and who had communications from God, and responded in their faith and in their belief in God, his name. Well, we've heard about names today. We've heard about Elimelech, my God is king. We've heard about Nehemiah. And Elijah's name means my God is Jehovah, or my God is strength. No strength in ourselves. Any strength that Elijah had was in the living God. And the apostle says, I can do all things through Christ, who keeps pouring strength into me. When we realize, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12, when I am weak, then I am strong. Isaiah 40 says, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So waiting upon the Lord will give us inward strength. It will give us upward strength. It will give us onward strength until we will be like these men of God, superior to the difficulties and the trials that are all around, because they know what it is to have their faith and their hope set in God. So what are the secrets of his strength? His praying, his knowledge of God, and his consciousness of being in the divine presence before he says, the God of Israel before whom I stand. So we find the Lord. Verse 2, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying. He didn't have to look for it. He had responded to the word of the Lord regarding the shutting up of the heavens with rain. And now he's complied with the word of God for him to go to Ahab And now the next step. The word of the Lord came unto him, saying, those who are in touch with God and communion with him will never be bereft of the divine direction and guidance. But are you complying with a word that God has given you? You cannot expect that God will again give you further direction when he's already given you direction along a certain line and you're acting in disobedience. No. We must go back like Abraham to where we had the altar at the beginning. We must retrace our steps and carry out the word that God has shown you in the past. And then you will find that God will continue to guide you. Where did he guide him? Go and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, which is before Jordan. He had to hide himself before he showed himself. After he had hidden himself and learned God's great provision and grace, we find in chapter 18 and verse 1, the Lord says, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. Where did he hide himself? By the brook Cherith. And God says, I have commanded the raven to feed thee there. We cannot presume on the grace of God if we are out of the will of God. We cannot presume upon the provision of God if we are out of the will of God. Are you accepting the place that God has for you? The place that you're in at the present time, if it's God's appointment for you, it's the best place where you can spiritually grow. Joseph in the prison, Moses at the backside of the desert, Paul 3 years in Arabia, and the Son of God himself, 30 years in Nazareth. It says he went down to Nazareth and was subject to his parents, and he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. He progressed physically, intellectually, and spiritually. He accepted the place of God's appointment for him. And yet we won't sometimes. We groan and we cry and we pray for deliverance. I've done it myself in a certain place of employment one time years ago. I prayed the Lord would deliver me from my boss, who was an unscrupulous, ungodly man. And the Lord said, John, you stay right there. You've got to learn patience. You've got to learn endurance. You've got to be a testimony to that man. So the Lord doesn't always deliver us, as he didn't deliver the children of Israel from the bitter waters of Marah, but he told Moses to take a tree and cast it into the waters, and the waters became sweet. So your circumstances, whatever they are, they can be made sweet when you bring Christ into them. And you can find that he will minister to your need in the circumstance as he did to those young men in the fiery furnace. The Son of God, one like unto the Son of God, is walking in the midst of the fire. So it's good to know that we have the presence of God with us. So quickly, the time is gone. What kind of a man was he? He was a man of like nature. He was a man of passion. We can emulate, we don't have to do anything about that, he's just like us. But he was a man of prayer. He was a man of piety. He was a righteous man. It's not the formal prayer that avails much. It's a fervent supplication of a righteous man that has much power in its working. So if we want to have that power, we said at the beginning, if we're prepared to pay the price, and the price is having a godly, consistent life and keeping short accounts with God and doing those things which are right in the presence of God. He is a man of purpose. He says, I'm jealous for the Lord God of Israel. Are we jealous for the interest of God alone? He was a man of patience, waiting those 3.5 years down at the brook Cherith, depending on the living God to supply his need. He was a man of progress. He progressed in divine things and in the knowledge of God himself. And what an end he had. What a reward he had. Caught up to heaven in a whirlwind. Being one of the true men of the Old Testament with the Lord Jesus Christ in the Mount of Transfiguration. Certainly Elijah is saying today it's well worthwhile living for God. Well worthwhile. Well worthwhile standing alone. Well worthwhile paying the price. Because he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. We trust God will bless his word. Elijah prayed again. And you may have prayed, but God wants you to pray again. And he got the blessing, but first of all, it was just like a little cloud. Like a size of a man's hand. But finally, the servant says to his son, Elijah had faith already. The servant didn't have any faith. But he said, I hear these signs of abundance of rain. God will bless. If we pray and are exercised like Nehemiah, regarding the needs of the people of God. Why, what was it? I was impressed with this recently. There are three things that should mark us as believers and disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, and one of them is we should have a love for each other, as Elijah had. He had a love for the people of God. And we should have a love for the Lord himself. John 21. The Lord said to Peter, do you love me, Peter? Do you love me? Do you have affection for me? Peter says, Lord, you know all things. You know I have affection for you. He says, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. So what will give us, what the Lord will encourage and entrust the sheep to those who really love himself. And if you want to be a leader, if you want to be a help amongst the people of God, you will have to love them, and you will have to love the Lord himself. We trust that you will do so, for his name's sake.